Hi, this is Michaela. Welcome to the WOD Fam Chalk Pod.
Hello and welcome to the WOD Fam Chalk Pod. I'm Dylan Weaver.
I'm Andrew Sabo.
And we're here to talk about episode 442A. Just two roads.
There's only two of them.
It's hard to say 244A, two roads.
Yeah. There's too many twos.
Well, yeah, and it like forces you to like take a breath, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it just doesn't flow. We need 244A, the two roads, or 244A, two roads.
Two roads, both of them.
244A, two roads.
Sherman 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney.
P. Sherman 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney.
I really hope that was correct otherwise.
Oh, yeah, you're okay. Right.
Good, awesome.
If not, tweet at us.
Yeah. Hi. Like you said, this is A, so this is half of an episode.
Yep.
So
they did that a lot.
Yeah.
In like the late 90s.
Yeah.
Like it felt like there was just a year or two. I don't know. Well, I mean, it's the thing that like every Nickelodeon TV show is.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, we don't have a 22-minute episodes. We've got two 11s.
Yeah.
That's enough for you guys.
Adventure Time did that for a really long time. I mean, that's what Adventure Time was.
So. Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean, SpongeBob, fairly
is
out there.
Oh, is SpongeBob not 22-minute?
Nope, it's okay. two 11s.
Wow.
They might occasionally dip into the 22? Full 22 territory.
Wow.
But yeah, most of those cartoons that like I grew up with on Nick were half episodes.
Huh.
Lilo and Stitch even did a couple half episodes.
Yeah. That's
funny. This episode aired April 15th of 2000. It was written by Jim Ware and directed by Phil Lawler.
Jim Ware?
He has written 12 episodes.
Okay.
All kind of around this time.
Did he only write this half? Or did he write both halves?
I believe he just wrote this half.
Huh. Okay. All right.
But we can find out. Yep, he just wrote this half.
I am slightly surprised, though, that Odyssey would pick the 11-minute thing just because it's an audio medium. Like, it seems strange to me. Like, I get TV
it is.
Show.
Well, and they, like, obviously got away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe they only did it in the period where Paul McCusker was not on the show.
Oh, huh.
Like, there was a period in which Paul McCusker left, and I want to say it was Phil Lawler who took over. For a couple years, and then Paul McCusker comes back on with Novacom.
Yeah.
But kind of during that section, they have a lot of different writers on. They have there's not really any big arcs.
Mm-mm.
Kind of like from when Wit gets back to when Novacom starts.
It's all pretty like variety show-y.
Yes.
Where you have like all these different, you know, ongoing bits. We have school episodes. We've got, you know, Imagination Station episodes, but it's all pretty.
Yeah, and this episode especially, which this is 34, In Your Wildest Dreams.
Yeah.
Which is one of the most, like, disparate of episodes, or of albums.
Yeah.
It's got the original Passages episodes and I Slap Floor.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of these, like, half episodes, little things. And, yeah, it's an interesting one.
Yeah, I guess if they didn't have Paul McCusker, I'm just surprised that they would try and deviate so much from the norm in that way.
Yeah, I don't know. You kind of got to find your new groove.
Yeah.
And apparently the new groove is...
You've thrown off the Emperor's groove.
I didn't preview this, so we're going to see what this promo is. It might have things about both parts. We will find out shortly.
On the next Adventures in Odyssey, two boys make different choices about stealing candy. A decision that takes their lives in different directions. But one day, they meet again, and you'll never guess where. Plus, Bart Rathbone is afraid his store is in for some competition. And as usual, he has a clever plan to make the competition leave town. Sticks and stones may break some bones, but whose? Find out on the next Adventures in Odyssey.
I am so confused at what that music was.
Me too.
I think it was like six different things.
Yeah.
It was like elevator music, but also sad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it does have both parts, but it's interesting. So that's referencing Sticks and Stones, which is 442B.
Mm-hmm.
Has never been released on an album. It only aired once.
Wow.
It, I think, got flagged for like offensive Amish stereotypes. Now I'm trying to.
What?
What was the issue? No. That's a different one. This one was dropped because they felt it had too many insults for kids to call each other. And so now when it airs.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
Now when it airs, the Lying Tale goes along with it, and that's what's on the album release as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the original radio broadcast had Sticks and Stones.
Wow. Joe, we're just like, we gave kids too many mean name ideas.
Yeah. The Amish one is BTV Grace, also written by Jim Ware, only aired once.
Wow.
Never released otherwise.
Jim Ware really pushing the boundaries. Jeez, guy.
Yeah, well, and he is, in this episode, pushing the boundaries of what is considered Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Because this does not fit in with the Twilight Zone tropes at all.
Nope.
It's not trippy. It's not technology-based. It's not...
Yeah.
Right. It once again, does not have... This one, even more than last one, does not have kids from Odyssey in it at all.
It's just Wit telling a parable, basically.
It is Wit telling a parable.
And a bad one at that. We'll get into it.
And the episode starts right off with the music.
Mm-hmm. And then Wit does the intro.
Yeah.
Not Connie.
Correct.
Why would this be the Twilight's...
Whatever, yeah, no,
fine.
No, it's Wit's time to shine. He doesn't get enough airtime on the show.
Yeah, exactly. He's got to meet his quota.
So yeah, he does the narrative intro.
And then he talks about the gate that is small and the way is narrow that leads to life.
Yep.
And then he jumps right into the story about Simon and Sonny, or Sonny, I don't know.
Sonny.
How do you have that spelled in your notes?
Only because of the...
OA Club, you have it as S-O-N-N-I?
Yep.
Okay, me too. That does not seem right.
Because I guess if it was S-U-N-N-Y, that would be a girl's name?
Yeah, I guess. What is Sonny short for? Sonathan?
Sonathan. You're right. That's got to be what it is.
So basically, the story starts. So Wit's narrating the story about Simon and Sonny, who are two friends, and they're in high school, and they're throwing a football in the hallway, and Sonny wants to go...
I think it's the cafeteria.
Oh, is it the cafeteria? Okay.
I thought it would... Maybe... No, maybe it isn't.
It's a vending machine, which is the problem. They throw the football. Simon doesn't want to.
To start off, Simon doesn't even want to throw the football.
Yeah. And then Sonny's like, nah, do it. And Simon's like, I don't want to. And Simon's like, Sonny's like, nah, do it. I'll go deep. And then Simon does it. And then Sonny, does he drop the ball?
I think he throws it. It misses Simon and crashes through a vending machine.
Yes. And then they steal all the candy.
Simon does not steal candy.
No.
Sonny.
Sonny steals the candy.
Sonny Belio.
Wow. That's a bad guy name.
Well, he goes on to be in the mob, and that's a very Italian name.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Whatever. We're just gonna gloss over that.
Yeah. So Simon is voiced by Corey Burton.
Okay.
Which becomes apparent when he grows up.
Yes.
And Sonny is voiced by Nathan Carlson,
mm-hmm.
who people know as Richard Maxwell.
Interesting. Yeah. So they steal the candy.
The premise. No. Sonny steals the candy.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said they.
Oh, no. Sonny steals the candy. Simon doesn't. It's very important that you know, Chalk Squad, Simon does not steal the candy.
Two roads diverged in a yellow wood.
Simon didn't take the candy.
Right. Because that is the premise of this thing, is like, hey, somehow this leads Sonny on a crime spree that ends with him dying in jail.
Yep, pretty much. No, so literally, he steals candy.
Yep.
Then steals cars.
Yeah, well, no. He steals candy, then he stops going to church.
Yes.
Because it starts out with the fact that they both grew up in the same part of town.
And yeah.
We're both, you know, went to the same church and everything. So Sonny steals this candy here, stops going to church, begins stealing regularly, including something called mini monster cards.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
Pokemon?
Oh. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. That's what that is.
Thank you.
Perhaps Digimon.
I was looking at that like
Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mini monster cards, but yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
It Focus on the Family hates Pokemon.
And this episode came out in like 99, no, 2000. We already
Which
talked
was peak
about it.
Pokemon. Yeah,
that is, that the late 90s, early 2000s is the Pokemon era. So yeah, he then, we jump to him in high school, where he steals a custom Trans Am with a CD player, fuzzy dice, and bongos.
Bongos! Of course.
He's like, ah, this thing has everything I want. A CD player, fuzzy dice, bongos, and
bongos.
I was like, wait.
That's what was missing from my last car.
I'm rewinding this. Did he say bongos?
Bongos.
I like to imagine they're like, in the passenger seat, like where the glove box would be. So you can just
add
a little bit of sound as you're.
Well, what was last episode? The man who watched TV at a red light.
Yeah,
you can play bongos at a red light.
Play bongos at a red light. That's safer.
Much safer.
We still do not endorse it.
Nope.
so yeah, he gets caught for stealing the car and sent to juvie.
Yep.
Where he meets a very old man who's a criminal.
Yes, he does.
I was very confused as to what this was.
It's like a correctional facility with also just actual criminals.
Right. Yeah. The Juvenile Delinquent Center, but also...
jail.
Right. We just mix them together with the hardened criminals.
It's only 11 minutes long. Don't look at it too closely.
That's our show, Andrew.
I know.
So he then goes... He and this guy go and rob a
gas station,
presumably? At gunpoint. Well, assumedly. Like, this episode really skirts around with just, like, I mean, really good sound engineering, so you know exactly what's happening, but nothing's actually said.
Yeah.
Similarly with, like, the car crash later on. Like, they don't even say what happened. You just hear a car crash.
Yeah.
Connie is the cashier here at the thing. That was fun. So yeah, he goes back to jail for armed robbery. No, he doesn't.
No, he gets away and then he becomes a big time mob boss and has a casino.
Yeah.
And he starts talking like,
yes. And becomes very, Italian.
House always wins, see.
And then
he goes to jail.
He is convicted for 59 years in prison and dies in prison.
And then goes to hell.
And we hear Satan, voiced by Will Ryan.
Yes. That's confusing considering the Mortal Coil episode. What are you doing, Odyssey?
It is, fun.
He's like,
the crackle of hell,
yes.
Too?
And he's like, got a spot for you here. And he's like, oh, crap. And then he goes to, and then he's just in hell. And then we cut back to Simon.
Yep.
Good guy, Simon.
Simon has never missed church.
Nope. He memorized a bunch of Bible verses.
And he won every Bible bowl.
Oh, yeah. Bible quizzing. And then he went to Bible college and he was president of his youth group.
Yeah.
Do youth groups have presidents?
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm putting my foot down.
And
saying, as the person who probably would have been youth group president?
Yes.
No.
No. Bad.
That would have ruined me.
Yeah.
I would have ended up like this guy.
Yeah. You definitely, for sure, would have ended up like Simon.
No youth group should have a president.
Nope.
That's horrible.
It's a terrible thing.
Why?
What is the value of that? Let's be real, though. The presidents of youth group are who the youth pastor pulls aside and is like, hey, If you want to come here on Saturday nights, we can have like a special like leadership program for you guys.
Right.
Those are the presidents.
Those are the presidents. But if your youth group had a literal elected or appointed president,
yes,
write to us.
Please.
Please.
I need to know if this is a thing. If you are the president, how did that go?
Yeah. Like,
was it fun? Do you have good memories?
Are you in counseling now?
Like, yeah. How maybe you should be. Maybe you shouldn't be. I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, we go on to say that he's always been honest.
Yep.
Deirdre pulls him aside and like is offering him like the test answers or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Deirdre is voiced by Pamela Hayden of Katrina fame.
Yep.
The OG Katrina before she got recast.
Oh, that's right. I forgot she got recast.
It's one of the smoother of voice transitions on Odyssey.
Yeah. Huh.
I mean, it helps that her and Eugene were out of town for like 4 years.
Yeah. Where were they?
What? We covered that.
I know.
That was literally... We covered how little sense the timeline makes.
Yes.
Post-Novacom. Anyways.
Go listen to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. If you got on recently, all the episodes are up, and we're not pulling an earwolf and sticking them behind a paywall. So
no, sir.
Go back and listen.
Yeah.
For all. So yeah. Oh, he coming out of Bible college, he launches a motivational speaking career,
mm-hmm.
which you could just hear
Witt's
disdain for that as he was saying it.
Oh my gosh, he became a motivational speaker. And then it cuts to him saying, "Don't let the vending machines of your life get you down."
That's right.
The vending machine wasn't a problem. It wasn't like the vending machine was trying to give him test answers. Like, what? The vending machine was just minding his own business.
Hey, that would be a proper Twilight Zone episode if the vending machine was trying to give him test answers.
That would make sense.
This is not really a Twilight Zone episode. It's a bad parable.
It's a very bad parable.
And so, yeah.
And then he becomes mad rich, and then he has a financial, like, he has, like, a gala.
Yeah, he found this charity, and during that gala speech is like, you know, it feels good to do good.
Yeah.
And this is at the point in which he sounds exactly like Brian Dern.
Yeah, exactly like Brian Dern.
Like, if Brian Dern just, like, toned it down and didn't,
yeah,
like,
not do on his radio voice.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys can hear those, there are tons of geese in the background.
Like an army of geese.
Yeah. If not, I will cut this.
That's a good idea.
Anyways.
Or you can just leave it in.
But I'll cut the part saying if I...
Yeah.
I'll cut this. Yeah. Jeez. So yeah, it's at this point that he decides to run for president.
Well, he gets elected to Congress. Then he runs for president.
Oh, you're right.
Evangelicals think that that's a good thing.
Uh-huh.
And yet they voted for Trump.
Uh-huh.
We should probably cut that.
Maybe
not.
I'm okay with
it. Come at me, Chuck Squad. Well,
so yeah, he's then at a at either a press conference
and somebody asked him about his faith, basically.
Yep.
And he's like, "Oh, well, I have room for Jesus in my heart," or something like that.
Yeah, he also says something about what is it that, like, Jesus was obviously an important historical figure. Like, I think there's room for him in the conversation or something.
Yeah.
That right there, that statement, damns him to hell.
Yes.
And then he gets in a car crash and dies, and we never get to see what his presidency would look like.
Yep.
Cut to hell.
Yeah. He gets to hell, and you spend the whole episode thinking, like, oh, this guy's going to go to the good place. And then he ends up going to hell. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm so confused. I did all these good things.
Satan's given him the grand tour.
Yeah.
They have cubicles in hell.
Yep, they got cubicles.
Which is a funny joke.
And his, like, cellmate is... His cubicle mate, I'm sorry.
Is Sonny.
My boss, Sonny.
He is torn up as if he hadn't already realized he was in hell until he saw Sonny.
Yeah.
Like, there is fire crackling. Yeah. You're being given a tour by Satan himself. Yeah. And you're like, You what?
No. Expositional yep. gasp.
And then we go to Wit saying, obviously, Sunny made all the wrong choices. And you guys were probably thinking that Simon made good choices, but at the end of the day, they're in the same place. I'm Wit. Goodbye.
This is why people have trust issues with God. Stop.
Simon could never be good enough. There's two different roads to the same destination.
I hate this. I hate this theology with everything that I have. Loving Jesus isn't just about going to heaven.
Yeah.
Let's be very clear about this. Also, if you accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you subscribe to mostly conservative theology, which Odyssey does, they probably believe in the undeniable grace part of Calvinism. And no, that means fair. Once you say you're a Christian, you're you can't not be a Christian.
Yeah. But this guy clearly had a works-based theology,
mm-hmm.
and it failed him. And mm-hmm. he didn't have the moral gumption.
Even though he accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into his heart.
We don't actually know that.
Well, that's fair. Okay.
We just know that he did all the right things.
Yes.
In all the right places. So yeah, he's going down.
Yeah. I am upset. I didn't like this episode.
Yeah, it's just...
What is it? It's not good.
No, and it also, like, I don't know, maybe as a kid you'd have a different view, but I immediately got that they were going to that they were both gonna end up in hell.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they're talking about the second half and it's a list of works, it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the moral is... You both go to hell because you need to be, like, proper Christians and not just, you know, pretending to be one.
Which is, okay, yeah, but, like, for all the people that were, like, children and weren't sure if they were saved right. or not, and so they prayed the prayer every night because they were terrified of going to hell, like, this is the audience, like, this is the result of this kind of message.
Right. That's exactly it. We're like, the theology of this might be perfectly sound.
Yeah.
I'm not going to land one way or the other on that.
Yeah.
But the messaging is bad.
Yeah.
Because this is a program that children are going to consume, and not children who are throwing their lives away stealing Trans Ams with bongos.
Yeah.
Like, the people listening to this... are the church kid
yeah.
who did well in the Bible Bowl, and yeah. they're going like, oh no, what I'm doing isn't enough, and that's terrifying.
Yeah, exactly. That's a problem.
Like, so it's like, yeah.
That is genuinely very problematic to me.
It's your classic, you know, hellfire and brimstone kind of thing.
Yeah, or like to scare the hell out of them, basically.
Right.
But even then, it's not even like they're showing an alternative. It's not like there is a good person that we follow the example
mm-hmm.
of. You know, we're just left with...
The story is,
good
here's
people.
A guy who looked like he did good, here's a guy who looked like he did wrong, and you know what? Neither of them are saved. And it's not like... So, like, the moral is, hey, you can't save yourself... I'm Chris doing this wrap-up, like,
yeah.
ask Jesus into your hearts and you're good.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, hey, be aware that, like, doing your best isn't good enough.
Bye.
Right.
Yeah, I don't even know.
It's a tough episode. And also, I cannot stress this enough, it is not a Twilight Zone episode.
No, not even a little bit.
There's, it's as if they took... the previous episode.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, the Twilight Zone portion of this was the fact that we followed two characters' stories throughout their lives and then met up with them at the end. And
yep.
It's like, no, that wasn't the part that was Twilight Zone.
No. No, no, no. No, no, Not even a little bit. Yeah. We have drug chickens, and now we have whatever the heck this 11 minutes is.
No, Andrew. Whatever the hell.
Whatever the hell. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and Wick goes out and he's like, he made the right choice for this life, but not for the next. And I'm like, oh, whoa. So, like, yeah. When you tell kids to read their Bible and stuff, like, all that, those were bad choices?
Right, the only... It's that thing of the only reason to do good is to gain eternal salvation?
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is, it's weird because the episode is simultaneously trying to say, like, hey, your works aren't good enough, mm-hmm. but because it doesn't provide a solution,
yeah.
it feels more like, oh, the reason this guy didn't make it is because, like, in the third act, he faltered.
Yeah.
And, you know, denied Christ in front of the thing.
But which, did he really? He was just saying, like, I appreciate it. Like, he didn't deny it. He didn't say, like, oh, that's not something I believe anymore.
I think the messaging of this episode is very much, this guy did the right things, was a good person, but near the end lost sight of why he was doing them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, yeah. And now he's in hell. But the problem of it is that we don't see... I guess it is just that we don't see an alternative. It's mm-hmm. that he is...
It's just left with, this wasn't good enough.
Right, and so... The way, regardless of what their intention, the easiest way to look at this episode is here is a guy who was on the track to go to heaven,
mm-hmm.
and a couple weeks before he died...
Which, he was on the track to go to heaven based on his works, right. Which are the same thing that...
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So, like, regardless of their intention, it reads as... A dude did a lot of good, so he was going to heaven, and then right before he died, he said something he shouldn't have, so now he's in hell.
Yep.
And I don't truly believe that's what they're trying to portray here.
No.
But that's the way it reads, and it's really tough.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm able to see past that and get a glimpse at what they're trying to do, which is... I assume the intention of it is...
To emphasis on a relationship with God rather than the works. Which is true, but there's no...
But they never show the relationship.
It's almost like it should have been a full 20-minute episode.
Like, it's the problem of... Right, of... Correct. Like, we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace.
Yeah.
But this episode, all it's saying is... His works weren't good enough to save him.
Yes. And that's not good.
This is
that's half a Bible verse.
Right. This is a problem. And yeah, this episode made me upset.
I'm glad that it was short.
Yeah. And our episode was not because we're... You know, I mean, this episode will be on the shorter end of our episodes, but still, we were worked up enough that it...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So,
I don't have any more final thoughts.
Those are my final thoughts.
I'm gonna go beat my head into a wall.
Is there anything you want to plug other than walls?
No.
Yeah, no. I'm in the same boat, so...
Come back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, so next week, we will be here, and we're gonna talk about episode 537, My Girl Hallie, which I have not re-listened to, but I remember being terrifying. Bye, guys.
Bye.
WadFam Chalk Pod is a presentation of the Lititz Podcast Co-op. This show is a fan podcast and has no official affiliation with Adventures in Odyssey or Focus on the Family. As such, the copyright is ours under Creative Commons. Follow the podcast at WadFam Chalk Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or email us at wadfamchalkpod@gmail.com. Episode 56, Two Roads, was hosted by Dylan Weaver and Andrew Acevo, and edited by Dylan Weaver. I'm Michaela Moeller, hoping you'll join us again next time for more of the WadFam Chalk Pod.